I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
What we got going on here with the For the Farmers Montana Harvest Tour, Moore and Lewistown today. Got to thank those. You guys continue to keep Montana and the ag industry at the top of its game, I think. Tell you what, we're going to talk right away about this popular longest table event going on here. Abby Majerus is with us and just standing by talking about keeping us connected with our farming community. Also, we'll get a word from the nearby Central Ag Research Center. Pat Carr, the superintendent there, will join us, find out what's going on in the area of research. And then how about making a way for generational farms to succeed through succession planning? Lisa Williams will join us a bit later on for that. We got Brett McCray. We got Joe Lackman. We got Bernadette Jensen. We got Taylor Brown. We got Derek Melikar, the owner from Melch's bar here, and it's officially the office. Okay, we're in the office this morning. Don't judge us. We're at Melch's office bar here in Moore, Montana. Feel free to judge us. We are 406, and it's the Harvest Tour today on Voices of Montana. Hey, and thank you for joining us as well. Two decades strong, working on three. It's from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. And again, this Harvest Tour continuing. I teased everything we got going on here. I didn't mention we were going to be. The main thing is out here is to thank these farmers. Again, it's sponsored by Busch Light. Intermountain Distributing is here from the Billings area. They'll be delivering some 70 sandwiches today to area producers. Those sandwiches made right here at Melch's office, made at the office as well. And then we'll visit the Boyds, and we'll go to Straw, Montana, and talk with the Matthews, and past Eddie's Corner, west of Moccasin area. That's what we're going to do here today, and that's probably the best part about it. Brett McCray joins us. Brett, getting out there and actually talking in the field with producers is I don't know, very informative, but also you get the sense of how important this land and this industry and these generational farms are to our producers.
Yeah, you bet, Tom. Brett McCray here from the Northern Ag Network, talking about ag news most of the time. Glad to be here on Voices of Montana. But like you mentioned, Tom, what this is a celebration of the Harvest Tour. This For the Farmers Harvest Tour, sponsored by Busch Light, is it's meant to thank these farmers for what they do during this time, and producers for producing the high-quality food that we're able to enjoy, abundant, affordable, and high-quality here in this country.
Some of that will be on the longest table this weekend. Abby Majerus joins us. She's one of the lead organizers. Also with Montana Ranch HERS, Rancher, H-E-R-S, along with Mariah and Jesse. Good morning, Abby. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Good. Thank you for being here. So we've got this longest table event. Want to kick that off. How big is the longest table?
200 people.
200
yep.
people.
Yep. 25 or so 8-foot tables. So it's a long one.
Okay. Where's this being set up, and why are you doing this?
Yeah. We'll be at the Creekside Park this year in Lewistown, Montana. The past few years, we've held it on First Avenue, the block just off of Main Street. We decided to switch just because Creekside's such a cool asset to our community. Saturday, August 19th, gates open at 5. Dinner will be served at 6. We're doing it to connect people to their food. We really feel that, you know, as people get further and further removed from the farm and ranch, they are further removed from where their food came from. And so we just want to shorten that gap a little bit. We'll have local products, and people will get to know exactly where that thing that they're eating was raised.
Does it shorten that gap?
I think so, yeah. We've had, you know, people that have attended in the past that have been from out of state, and then they write a letter back to the News Argus later on saying how impactful that was for them. And I do think we're making a difference. Even if you know, people aren't on the farm or ranch raising their food, they're starting to understand where it's coming from, what it takes to get it there to the table.
Really cool. So what does it take then? I mean, you're I know that's that because you're a producer, and I want to hear how things are going there as well. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're out here too. Is okay, we know harvest time's real busy, but that you know there's transportation, all the logistics that go into that. It's not just a well, I got a week worth of harvest to do here, and then you know I'm kicking back.
Right, right. I think it's you know a lot different than I talk about. It's different than t-shirts. You know, we can't just wake up this morning and decide we want to have 30 t-shirts, you know, ready to go. It's anywhere from a two-year process to finish a beef to, you know, a year that we, you know, planted these seeds that we're harvesting now a year ago. I really, I liken farmers and ranchers and those in the ag industry to the original entrepreneur. I mean, we start a new business every year with every calf crop, every lamb crop, every crop that we put in the ground. So, yeah, it's... you have to have a lot of foresight to plan for your production later.
A little bit of luck, too, you know?
Yeah, heck yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Abby, we were talking beforehand, and like we mentioned, you know, Lewistown is not exactly the biggest metro area, not compared to, like, Chicago or anything like that. But tell me about how people in this local community are even able to learn more about some of their neighbors that are raising this kind of high-quality food.
Sure. I think, you know, you hear a lot about telling your story, and so I think this is a great opportunity, Longest Table is, for the producers that we, you know, source from to come and talk about how they their product gets to the table. You know, we'll have local honey there. We're going to have pork producers, a lamb producer. So you get to interact with those folks that are raising our, you know, our livestock for protein, our fibers, that sort of a thing. And I think that people are curious. You know, they drive to town to get groceries, to go to the swimming pool, and you're driving past crops and cattle. And so just getting to ask those questions and not feel like you're asking a dumb question.
How long you? Oh, go ahead, Brett.
I was just going to say, is there any examples of those stories? Have people told you about, wow, I thought this was so cool. I talked to this farmer. I talked to this rancher. I didn't realize this about agriculture or this specific thing. Is there something that comes to mind in terms of that?
Man, you're really testing my memory here. You know, a few years back we
had... You can make something up.
It's okay. Right, okay. I'll try not to. A few years back we did have a hops producer that came and, you know, couldn't bring his whole hops yard, obviously, to town, so he had some great photos. And he's now selling his hops to Galley's, and Galley's will be at the event on Saturday serving beer that was, you know, using those hops. But I think it was really stunning, even for those that, you know, grew up in central Montana to be like, wait, we're raising hops here that are being, you know, used and sourced locally. So that's one that comes to mind that I think people were kind of taken aback that was something that we can grow and then utilize market here in central Montana.
Abby Majerus, Montana Ranch Hers Beef is the operation as well. We're in Moore, Montana, Melch's Office Bar. This is the Longest Table event. That's how long has this been going on? It's going to happen this Saturday.
Yep, it'll be Saturday, August 19th. I believe this is our ninth year, but I should have done some research.
Well, that's good enough. So almost a decade of doing this.
Yep.
Yeah. So has anybody tried to have a longer table then? Or
not to our knowledge, okay. But we have had some interest across the state. I know that the cattlewoman down south of Billings in Warden had one earlier this summer, and we're really hoping to kind of create a toolkit that we can hand people so that we can have multiple events like this across the state and really literally have the longest table. You know, if we've got events happening in Weibo all the way over to Lolo, then we're really reaching a lot of people. So yeah, if anyone's interested in hosting one, by all means, reach out. We'll help you get one set up.
And you know, we're in the heart in Montana. It's rural. It's frontier. It's hard to think that some people in Montana don't know where their food comes from, so to speak. And some people, I think, also aren't aware of how important the impact of women in ranching is. And that's one thing that you've brought out with this Montana Ranchers Beef. Tell us how that's going.
It's going really well. It was, you know, this model was kind of dreamed up by the three of us. We aren't a generic co-op, but we're cooperating to get beef to people's table. We feel it's important that Montana families should be eating the same beef that we've been, you know, eating and serving our families for generations. So, Mariah Shamel and Jesse Olson and I collaborated. I think we're going on our fourth year now of pulling beef from the three ranches, grass-finished beef, and selling it direct to the table.
Tell me a little bit about that process. I mean, you know, we've been talking kind of about direct-to-consumer marketing, especially in the cattle industry for a little bit now. Tell me a little bit about something that was different about that that you weren't aware of maybe when you started.
Oh, man.
Yeah, what did you learn? What have you learned so far?
To outsource, for sure. We tried to make our own website, and that was not worth it. So lean on the experts when you can. But I think it's just that desire, especially after COVID, that people have to know where their food comes from, how it was raised, what the process was. We get lots of questions about what kind of antibiotics do you use, and we really... We take that as an opportunity to teach people, to get them more informed so that they aren't getting their information necessarily just from what they see on a commercial on TV or what's on, somebody posts on Facebook. If you want to know how a cow is raised, ask a rancher. And so we really embrace that opportunity. We've learned so much, but I think the biggest thing is the pride that we feel. I mean, we all had pride in our animals to begin with, but now being able to talk about them to people on an animal by animal basis has been, it's for me at least, has been a huge learning curve, but so it's brought so much pride in what we do.
What would be your message to young women or young families that are looking to get into agriculture? I know there's some challenges, but there are also doors opening. What would be your words of encouragement to them?
Get out and talk to people. I mean, I think that there's plenty, like you said, there's plenty of opportunities to bring the younger generation back into agriculture or to keep them in agriculture. I think too often, and I'm generalizing here, but this demographic really is kind of put my head down and work. And I think, there are opportunities. You just have to maybe talk about it. Say, hey, I really want to learn. I'd like to get into this. Would you be willing to help me? Or would you be willing to include me? And don't be afraid of what you don't know. I've had great role models when it comes to women in agriculture, and I'm sure, most people in my shoes could say the same. Lean on them, learn from them, and don't be afraid to tackle something. I think if you're willing to go into it knowing that you're going to learn something new every day, then it's worth it.
And most people are more than generous with their knowledge.
Absolutely.
Too, passing it
absolutely.
On. Yeah, they want that. Yeah. Abby, thank you.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate that.
This has been great.
Yeah. Yeah. We the longest table sounds like a big time, big fun
Heck
event.
Yeah.
Again, that's Saturday. You start at 5:00.
Yep.
And the tables are just full of local produce as much as you can do.
Yep, exactly. I imagine we'll have a few tickets left. So if people want to show up on Saturday, give it a go.
It's really cool. It's popular and selling out. Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Along with Brett McCray from the Northern Ag Network, I'm Tom Schultz, Voices of Montana. We'll continue here. Abby Majerus once again, Montana Ranchers Beef, and that longest table in Lewistown. Next, Pat Carr will join us. He's the superintendent of the Central Ag Research Center, not too far away here from Moccasin. We're going to find out what they've been digging into. We come on back with more. It's from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. Paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support, your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Voices of Montana is broadcasting live from the For the Farmers Harvest Tour, brought to you by Northern Ag Network and Busch Light. Proud supporters of Montana farmers.
Later on, we'll get a word from Lisa Williams and about succession planning. That's an important part, I think, as we talk about these generational farms. Welcome back here from Montana for Montana. Voices of Montana live from Melch's Office Bar. I think that's aptly named. There's a lot of people doing work in here right now. Derek Melikar will join us a bit later on. Taylor Brown's grabbed a mic. We've got Joe Lackman from the Northern Ag Network as well. Brett McCray with us. I'm Tom Schultz. Let's get into this one and welcome Pat Carr, superintendent of the Central Ag Research Center and associate professor, cropping systems. Good morning. How you doing, Pat?
Good.
Good.
Doing good.
Thanks for being here.
You bet.
What is this Central Ag Research Center?
Well, the Central Ag Research Center is a place where we really try to respond to the farmers in Central Montana, their needs and what they want us to be doing. We've got a couple faculty there, myself. I'm a cropping systems agronomist, as you said. And then we've got Jed Eberle. Jed's a microbiologist, which is fantastic. It's kind of unique. Really, in the state and the nation, there aren't too many microbiologists that you'll find at research centers like the Central Ag Research Center. So,
What is it you do there? What are you into?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I was hired to look for ways where we can diversify our wheat-based cropping systems. And specifically, we know we can grow winter wheat. We can grow it well. But are there other crops that we can grow well? And we are doing that. And farmers are doing that, as we know. So that was my charge. Jed Eberle was hired to really look at, really in the end, I think a term everybody knows, soil health. And what can we do above the ground that will really enhance soil health? So Jen and I do work together on some projects. We're involved in some things right now, and then we also have our independent research programs. So we'd like to think we stay pretty busy. We try to keep up with our neighbors, and so I think we've got some pretty exciting things going on.
Yeah, Pat, thanks for being on. Joe Lackman here. I think it's important, especially, you know, with me being a student at MSU here in Bozeman, what's your connection with the college there? You have a connection with the breeder programs, not only for your varieties in wheat, barley, your forage crops. What's also some of those research opportunities that students from MSU are coming to your research data or your research station and incorporating in their summertime work or their spring work?
Sure. Well, I'm actually a graduate of MSU. I won't tell you how long ago I was there.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's hard to get away from MSU. So, but we do have several graduate students, as all the research centers do, who have active programs. In fact, they go to the research centers to do their work. So Jed has some graduate students. I have a graduate student. And then we also host graduate students who are working with faculty on campus. We do stay very involved with actually, some of the teaching on campus. I collaborate and have for many years with several scientists on campus in various departments. We also do some teaching. Both Jed and I do guest lectures on campus. But I think one of the biggest attractions that research centers have today, and it's growing, Joe, you and I were talking about this, is for those who haven't been to MSU or other land grants recently and gone into ag programs, one thing you'll notice if you do go is that there are more kids coming who don't come from farms and ranches. I mean, they're clueless. They've never sat on a tractor before. And research centers are a great opportunity for them to get some exposure to that. And so I think that's something that, you know, we can really grow in the state and help some of the students. I mean, they're really bright kids. They just don't have that background. You were asking about the breeding. Certainly, all the research centers are very active and work very closely with breeders at MSU. All the breeders at MSU have a presence at the centers. We've got, you know, the suite of wheat, barley, variety testing and nurseries going on. We're working with Kevin McPhee, who's our pulse crop breeder. So all the breeders are very active. They come to the Central Ag Research Center and take a look at their material. In fact, Kevin McPhee is going to be up in a week or so to take a look at some of his trials. So we work very closely, and vice versa. We have to.
Yeah, and earlier when we were talking, you highlighted that the next few years is going to be a really exciting time for research stations. Maybe highlight what's coming out in the future of, you know, Montana State and the research stations and their work that they're working with the local farmers, but also some of the projects that they're taking on with those graduate students.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, if you get the various superintendents in there, I want to plug the programs that they're involved in. And we do work together, but a couple that we're very excited about at the research center, Joe, I was telling you this too. We just are beginning a long-term, what we hope is a really long-term crop rotation project at the Central Ag Research Center, working pretty closely with NRCS. Marty Thompson, Marty is our soil health specialist. We're working with her, and she and I were talking. What excites me about this project is, one, the plots are quite a bit larger than they typically are, so that's kind of nice. But we're looking at, I think, things that the farmers in our area are really interested in. One, how can we maintain crop yield and quality and perhaps not apply quite as much fertilizer as we historically have had? I mean, we've all watched urea and other fertilizer prices kind of climb and climb. And so we're looking at some alternatives, some biological products that we might be able to use, which may be able to allow us to reduce those inputs while maintaining what all people expect from Montana farms, and that is high quality and high yields. So that's kind of what we're looking at in that. As I said, it's going to be a long-term project. Another neat thing about that project, and I think it's a term that everybody has been talking about now for several years, is soil health. So we're looking at different rotations and practices, and not only what they do above the soil surface, but what they're doing underneath to maybe enhance soil health. So Jed Eberle, as I mentioned, he's a microbiologist, and Jed, since he started, has really been looking at various biologicals, different inoculants that we can use to enhance not only crop yield, but maybe also crop health, and doing that with products that, you know, really are working below the soil surface. So pretty excited about those programs. Again, we've gotten back into a little more heavily. Dave Wichman was the superintendent prior to me. Dave really established a pretty strong forage effort. We're continuing that and looking to expand that a little bit as well.
We're listening to Pat Carr, superintendent of the Central Ag Research Center, also associate professor. You heard him talk about cropping systems, one of his specialties here as well. On the For the Farmers Montana Harvest Tour, live from the bar, but it's the office bar, Melch's office bar, more Montana.
Yeah, Pat, thanks so much for coming on today. My question for you is, you mentioned earlier talking about the wheat diversification projects at the Central Ag Research Center. Tell me a little bit about those projects, as well as kind of how the farmers are involved in some of those things and why they're kind of interested in some of these projects.
Sure. Well, everybody wants to grow wheat when wheat prices are high. We all know that. But when wheat prices aren't quite as high, all of us look for alternatives. So From an economic standpoint, that's kind of the driver. we can grow pulses. I think we all know that. Montana leads the country, really, in cool season pulse production. So what we're looking at is, you know, how can we combine those and maybe see some synergies as well. So, you know, by designing rotations, not only are we growing other crops that are economic, profitable, but when we grow back and grow wheat, we're actually seeing yield not maintained, but even enhanced a little bit. So that's really what we're interested in. All of the research centers have advisory boards. Those advisory boards are comprised of area farmers, also extension educators and others, and we meet regularly with them. They provide us input. I mean, they kind of give us a thumbs up if they like what we're doing, and they offer, you know, some suggestions on new things that we need to look at.
Ties in pretty well with some of those soil health principles as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, I mean, if you look at why I was hired and why Jed was hired, any time a faculty person retires or leaves, we do ask for input from the advisory board. And the advisory board, of course, talk to their neighbors. So I think one reason Jed Eberle is here is really reflects the fact that farmers in the central part of the state said, we want somebody who looks at soil health. I mean, that's what we're interested in. And MSU responded, and we have Dr. Eberle.
What is the condition of our soil health? I mean, I know it probably varies from plot to plot, but in general, what do we know about our soil health in this area?
Well, you need to, you know, Jed would take over here and off he'd go, and it'd be hard to rein him in.
That'd
but,
be great.
You know, I think the biggest challenge farmers in the central part of the state have, and we all know this, is our soils are shallow. And, you know, we can get 30 inches of rain. It'd be wonderful if we did. We could get 30 inches of rain, but our soils just can't hold that much. So anything that we can do to enhance the ability of our soils to retain the water that is received is a good thing. We are finding some of the same problems they are in other parts of the state. On the one hand, our organic matter levels sometimes maybe aren't quite as bad as they are in other parts of the state. As I said, our soils are shallow, but... And it feeds back into what I said earlier about fertilizer. We are starting to see in central Montana, and we have for some time, some soils are becoming very acidic, which goes back to the fact that we're using a lot of urea-based fertilizer. So why do we want Jed here? Because then Jed and myself and others can look for alternatives where, we can maintain high wheat yields, for example, but not have to apply as much urea, so maybe we can reverse this acidification of our soils. We ideally, as I think anybody who's got a garden knows this, the ideal pH for a soil is just a little bit less than neutral, maybe about 6.7. It's a compromise, but that's probably ideal. You get soils that have, pHs 5, 4.5, that's not good. And we're starting to see that in some of our shallow soil depths. And that's a big, big problem for us, something we never thought we'd see in Montana, but here it is.
Yeah, and maybe this is switching gears a little bit, but right, my dad always says it's better to have more rain than not enough. And earlier this year, we definitely got a lot more moisture than we have in the past couple. Maybe looking to harvest, we see the just outside the office bar, you know, trucks are lined up, they're weighing in and they're unloading. You guys also harvest your own forage varieties. What are you seeing as far as results this year? Let's maybe go into yields or
sure.
Maybe some of the benefits of some of the practices you're incorporating.
Okay. Well, I think it's not a huge surprise, given we got good moisture and we got it at the right time. We're seeing from what we've heard our neighbors are seeing, our yields are very good. Now, it's not, you know, you're probably going to find exceptions, but overall, our yields are very good. The challenge is always when yields are really good, if you didn't predict that in advance and adjust your nutrition, is going to be a little bit low, and that's exactly what we were seeing. Like, for example, our winter wheat, our yields are the best they've been for several years. I'm not going to tell you what our protein is, but it's not very high. And I think that's echoed by what some of the farmers are seeing as well. So yields across all crops are tend to be pretty darn good, but our quality in some instances is maybe not what we'd hoped it would be.
And we got less than 1 minute left, but
sure.
What about historic averages? Pretty good producing area, huh?
Yeah, for winter wheat, it's a very good producing area historically. Sometimes the spring grains maybe aren't quite as high, but for fall seeded stuff, quite good. Our pulses historically have been pretty good. So yeah.
Do you have any experimental crop in the ground right now?
Oh yeah.
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 How's it looking? What's it going to tell us?
Pretty good.
Yeah? Yeah.
You're going to have to come to our field day next summer.
I am here. Yeah. Okay. We okay. will certainly do that.
All right.
I learned a ton, Ben. Thank you for what you do, and Jeb as well. Appreciate that. We want to thank you as well because you're a big, important part of our ag industry in Montana.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet.
So, that again, Pat Carr, superintendent of the Central Ag Research Center in Moccasin, Montana. Great place to live. And we're here at Melch's Office Bar. Back with more of the Harvest Tour in just a bit on Voices.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
406 in like everybody's business. Welcome back. We're in Moore, Montana. Got Lewistown on the plate for a bit later on tonight. 6 o'clock, there's an open public invited reception here. It starts at the party. It will be at the Eagles Club, 6 to 8. And right now at Melch's, it's actually the official office bar here in Moore, Montana, Montana Harvest Tour, and a host of folks around the table. We'll speak with Lisa Williams here in just a bit. That's A to E Wellness, anxious to excited.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Brett McCray, Northern Ag Network, is here, and Taylor Brown, Tom Schultz again alongside, and Derek Melikar joins us. Derek, good morning. Thanks for being here. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Do you have this kind of crowd at 9 a.m.?
Oh, yeah, we got them coming through for coffee in the mornings, and then before noon, they're lining up for cocktails.
Love the atmosphere here. How long have you guys been a part of this?
I've been here since 2010.
But your family's had it how long? Tell them that story.
No, I bought it in 2010. I've been here. My family came here to Moore in 1907.
What's it like? We always think of there's a romanticism that goes with owning a small town kind of bar. I'm sure you have a lot of challenges, but a lot of memories probably made here for the community.
Yeah, born and raised here, grew up here. My place is just a mile south of Moore here. I'm still putting up a couple hundred acres of hay, and we're all about the people around us.
Well, this time of year, they should take the census in Moore, looking at all those trucks out on the street. I mean, this is a busy place. And you'll feed a lot of these harvest crews, these guys that are harvesting, come in here for your lunches.
Yeah, daily we get, the phone will start ringing here about 11 o'clock, and we're shipping go orders out the door, and I'll meet them out on the street if they if I need to hand them off to the truck drivers or whatever's going on.
You got grain of your own to cut?
No, I'm all hay.
You're all hay now?
Yep.
You were figuring on piling that on the ground anyway, but look how much of this wheat crop is getting piled on the ground.
Wow, it's just, it's incredible. All my neighbors and stuff around here, I mean, it's obviously bumper crop for everybody.
They said over 1 million bushels in that pile when they're done out there.
Yeah, that holds about 1.3, and then I help the guy picks that up, and we haul it back in here when we can get trains coming through and stuff.
If you could bring trains with you next year, Tom, when you come to this, if you could bring some trains, that's what we mostly need here. We got enough wore-out trucks. Okay, we got them.
And I'll work on that, and what happens if I do?
They'd appreciate
the office bar.
Derek, what gets you through? What keeps you up at night, and what gets you through those long nights as being a business owner that has challenges in rural America?
Well, we fight everything the way I call it the new America is anymore. It's the help. Trying to keep up with the help that people don't want to work anymore.
Yeah.
It's just that. It's just trying to keep the people around. You know, our town's getting smaller. Farmers, there used to be a farmer on every section out here, out south, more on this bench. And now one farmer owns all the sections. And, there's just not the people around here anymore. Our school up here, K-12, got about 65 kids in it. And, that's what a high school was back in the 80s when I graduated.
Yeah. You coached around this area.
Yeah. I coached football here for 15 years, and I'm still the track coach for it's a Hobson Moore co-op.
Tell us about the kids. Tell us about the kids you're coaching.
Oh gosh, good bunch of kids. We go up and down with it. Our football program had been very successful up here and stuff. And I just love the kids. It just keeps me going.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Hey, thanks for hosting us here and making lunches as well. We're going to deliver about 70 of those a bit later on. I see you're wearing your Busch Light shirt.
Oh, yeah, for the farmers, and my mom started yesterday. She's like, I'm going to help you with this. We'll put this out. And, Intermountain Steve Hrachek called me from town. He said, we're going to cook for 70, and so we put it all together yesterday, and here we are now.
And I tell you what, it smells really good, too. You guys actually do a pretty good job in the kitchen here, huh?
Yeah, and again, that's another thing. We used to try to run an evening session, but, shoot, it's just getting help to staff it, and it's just, I can't cook suppers anymore. It doesn't pay for itself.
Yeah. I think a lot of people get that, and, some of those challenges. I appreciate you, though, waking up in the morning and getting after it, too.
Right, yeah. We start early every day. Yeah. And if we could ever get one shot from Taylor Brown and just have him say, tell him Taylor sent you, to melt his office.
Come on. Just do it, Taylor. It's right there. Get it up. Yeah?
So stop by Melch's Office Bar, visit Tom Schultz, and tell him Taylor sent you.
Thank you, guys.
Dr. Taylor Brown sent you. Thanks, Derek. Appreciate that. Again, Brett McCray, Northern Ag Network, and standing by, Lisa Williams, sitting by as well from A&E Wellness. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. You do some producing around the area, too.
Yeah. Yep. My
How's
family,
it going?
My family ranches, yeah. Yeah, it's going good. It's been a lovely summer when we actually have hay to cut, so we're good.
Yeah. What does going good mean?
I don't know. Steady by jerks, probably. Between visits to the shop, we've been cutting some hay and getting some bales, and so it feels good.
Tell us about, you're a wellness coach, and mm-hmm. one of the things that being in this area have encountered was a need to prepare people for succession planning. Tell us about how that came about and where those gaps are in this important element.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I knew when I started wellness coaching that I wanted to focus on farmers and ranchers and producers and whatnot, and that was just a recurring theme that kept coming up with several people that I talked to, was when we really got into what was bothering them and what was keeping them awake at night and what was allowing their health to go down was the stress over succession planning.
Wow.
And so I decided that I really needed to focus there and learn everything I could on what I could help people with through wellness coaching to get to a good place with succession planning.
Lisa, when we're talking about succession planning for farmers and ranchers and agricultural operations, what is one thing that you always tell people when they're thinking about this process, when they're thinking about trying to pass the farmer ranch on to the next generation? What is one thing that you always tell people?
That's a really good question. Because everybody's ideas and things that they have and mindset around succession planning is so different. But the main thing that I can always tell everybody is that it doesn't have to be the elephant in the room. It just needs to be calm, need to change your mindset around it to being just an essential part of the leadership for your operation. We're excellent managers. We think of the ins and outs. We're going to take care of the place. We're going to take care of the family. But when it comes to succession planning, it's so easy to sweep that to the side, and we don't want to talk about it. It's uncomfortable, and it doesn't have to be. It just needs to become a normal part of your leadership process for the place.
What causes the most anxiety about it? Just doing it right?
Yeah, and talking about all the uncomfortable things that we don't want to talk about. Mm. I mean, you got to talk about the nitty-gritty of the business. You got to talk about money. You have to talk about change, which change is hard, and role changes and identity changes for people. And like for the founding generation, like the idea of not doing it anymore. What am I going to do if I'm not doing this? For the incoming generation, like how do I become more than the kid? Like, you know, just all these identity shifts and changes that happen. I feel like I got off in the weeds. I get talking about it, but that's one of the biggest things, is just all these mindset shifts that go into coming back to setting goals and what do we really want, because you're stuck in these other changes.
The succession planning, again, what is a good outcome? Is there a good time to start this discussion? Your point to a particular outcome, but I suppose that's different for a lot of different people out here.
Right, yeah. I mean, every family is different. Every operation is different. All the individual goals within those families are different. So the best time to do it is now. You know, it's never too early to start talking about the leadership of your place and the ultimate goal, where you want it to go. If you want your place to be a legacy place, if you want it to be generational, if you want it to pass on, it's never too early to start talking about it.
How's it been going? Are people receptive to the coaching?
Yeah, you know, and it did definitely come about kind of by accident. Like I said, it's just kind of evolved into something that several people wanted to talk about. You know, they were having trouble sleeping, having trouble with other, like, health biometrics that are coming from stress. And when we really got into talking about it, it came back to this one thing that was just stressing them out and affecting their health and their wellness and their happiness. So we started diving into that, and that's where I came out with Legacy Wellness Coaching, which is just aimed at diving right into succession planning and preparing for succession planning right off the bat.
How do you get people from anxious to excited?
That is a mindset shift that comes when you feel like you're taking control of your life. You know, anytime that you're going into a change, there's this moment in every change that you kind of feel a little out of control, even if it's something you're excited about, something that you want. That beginning change, you get anxious about it, you know, and the more that you can take ownership in your life, the more that you can own these decisions that you're making and the choices that you're and goals that you're really pursuing, it's an automatic, natural progression to move into being excited.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Good luck to you and Joe, your husband Joe, with the cow-calf operation and with A&E Wellness Coaching.
Yeah.
And keep us up to date, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very important. We'll take a break and come on back with more. We are from the For the Montana Farmers Harvest Tour, live from Melch's Office Bar. Every time I say that, I feel like I'm cheating or something, you know. Early in the morning, we're back with more here. We're going to hear from Intermountain Distributing and what's going on today all across this area. It's from Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support. Your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Welcome back. Just a shout out to all our guests today, Abby Majerus, Pat Carr, and also Lisa Williams, and then Derek Malikar, with Brett McCray, Tom Schultz, and Dr. Taylor Brown with us here as well on the For the Farmers Montana Harvest Tour, out and about in this area today, delivering lunches made here at Melch's Bar. And then a bit later on, it's at 6 o'clock tonight at the Eagles for a social at the Eagles Club in Lewistown. Taylor Brown has a...
You are the workingest guy, Tom Schultz. You're not even getting out of the office today.
I know.
You're just sitting here in the office, just working and working.
And I'm getting a lot of work done, too.
Yeah. If this was your office, you wouldn't get much done.
Yeah.
Justin Strecker, General Manager of Intermountain Distributing. And you're speaking about farming, the Strecker family farms down in the Yellowstone Valley. They've been through succession planning. They've been doing a lot of harvest and planning. But today, Justin is here because he's the General Manager for Intermountain Distributing, and they're the sponsors of our tour. Thanks to Busch Light for the help with that, Justin. And give them an idea what we're going to do now, because now the fun starts the next couple hours. And thanks to you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the fun is definitely starting. Basically, what we're going to do is go around to a few farms here around the Lewistown area and hand out meals to hardworking folks in the agriculture business. So
you grew up in that capacity, working on that farm. What would it have felt like to have somebody drive up and say, "Hi, we're here with a whole bunch of food and maybe a little Busch Light"? And what would it have been like to have that feeling and say, "We appreciate you guys for what you're doing"?
Oh, I think it would be great. I mean, you know, these farmers out here, the dedication and hard work that they do every single day, and, you know, they got a million things on their plate, and, you know, for someone to stop by and actually, you know, sit down for a few minutes, have a discussion and in a meal, it would have been wonderful.
And this is a commitment that Busch Light has been after for a long time. This started back, we're sitting here, looking up at the John Deere logo that when they did down the cans 2 years ago. This year, there was corn on the cans. You said that alone has gotten to be a collector's item. Even if they don't drink beer, they want those cans.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, people look at that stuff, and, I mean, of course, they want it for their houses and bars and whatnot, but yeah, I mean, it's been a great program throughout the years, you know, for the farmers, for the fishermen, whatever, but it's they have great programming.
Well, thanks to Intermountain Distributing, and I mean, you're the world's largest beer company, I mean, Anheuser-Busch, so that's that, but for you guys to commit like this to our local farmers here, Justin, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, no problem. Thank you.
Justin Strecker, once again, Intermountain Distributing. Steve Horacek is with here. Bruce Jensen as well. Got Brett Montgomery, too, with Busch Light. They're giving away a Busch Light cooler and some swag, some nice swag. We'll be handing that out. And you can also sign up for a wall tent. That can happen. Look for those displays for it and do a QR code on it as well. But that'll be at the Eagles Club tonight, too, starting at 6 o'clock. Taylor, any final thoughts here?
The Eagles Club is where I gave my first speech in FFA. We had our FFA parent member banquet, the Eagles Club in Lewistown. So it's going to be great to be here and come back home.
We've got Joe Lackman. He's making a bid for a national FFA office as well. So good luck on that, Joe. He's been a part of this internship.
And we're
this
just
year.
A few miles here and more from where Mamie Hurdle was raised. Mamie Hurdle, of course, the last national FFA officer in the state of Montana and the only woman ever.
Well, I think Joe's putting together a good bid, and we sure have appreciated you being around this summer, too, Joe. Brett, thank you, too, for being here.
Just
we are
me.
Heading out now, and we'll get out there. I'd love to see you tonight at the Eagles Club here in Lewistown if you're around. Tomorrow, it's open phones on Voices of Montana. Leon Costello, the athletic director for Montana State University, lining up for next Wednesday. That'll be a good talk. Thank you guys for being here, and we'll talk to you later. Oh, I forgot to mention. Hang on with that. One big thank you out here to Greg Wickman. Not everyone harvesting is sitting on a combine. Thanks for the show. Thanks for that reminder, Greg. The egg industry is larger than we know. Thank you, guys. We'll see you later.